Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to ReviewAday.ca. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd from ThisWeekInGeek.net. And you can hear me right now on VGS, or Video Game Sophistry, across the Chorus Radio Network. Well guys, last time on Rad, we looked at Activision's Transformers Devastation. Had a tremendously fun time with that game. Actually just finished it with all the characters. I can kick Megatron's ass in about 15 seconds. And even at the end of the game. So, screw that guy! So, in today's episode, we're taking a look at 343 Industries and Microsoft's Halo 5 Guardians. And I'm actually going to be talking about the Collector's Edition for this game. Though, some of the content as of this review is not exactly super live right now. So, I can talk about what I've experienced so far and what I've experienced via preview kind of plays, events I've gone to, etc. So I've had this game since very early last week, and I've been going through the campaign. I've played a lot of multiplayer, mostly a lot of arena. And I've definitely got some thoughts about that as I've been playing a lot of COD in the last year, so I can kind of draw some comparisons with that. Now, in terms of the story, I do want to talk about it, but I have to be very careful about spoilers, because a lot of the game takes a bit of a left turn swerve, and to tell you anything more about that would kind of ruin the surprise, but what I will tell you, I will talk about when I get the gameplay slash storyline. Right now! Okay, so the gameplay slash storyline for Halo 5 Guardians is, you follow Master Chief's Team Blue and Spartan Locke's Fireteam Osiris, and you're hunting down the remnants of Jewel Madama. He's basically that guy who thought he was the hand of the Didact, the Covenant nut job, who basically believes they can still take over the universe and blah, blah, blah. So you're hunting him down, but at one point very early on in the game, the Chief receives a transmission, and he's like, okay, I gotta see what this is. I have to know. So he goes against orders from the UNSC, and it's up to Spartan Locke and Fireteam Osiris to hunt him down. Joining him are a bunch of new characters. The only one you really kind of give a crap about is, well, the ODST trooper, Buck, voiced by Nathan Fillion. And the game takes place over the course of about 15 missions, if I remember correctly. Now, this is a game I did beat in a night. It doesn't seem like a long game. Like, I'm pretty sure we're talking anywhere about 6 to 8 hours, though it could be longer, but I don't remember because I was just ripping right through it. So either I'm really good or it seemed really short. I'm not 100% sure on that. But what I did play, though, you do get a bunch of new weapons. And I will say this, one of the things I do like is the Forerunner weapons do seem a lot more useful. I didn't hate the light rifle in this game, which was actually kind of nice, because you get stuck with that weapon at certain points. If I did notice anything about this game, is it seems like you don't get nearly enough hands-on time with a lot of the UNSC weaponry in this. It just felt like I never got a chance to use my assault rifle as much as I would like, or my battle rifle as much as I would like. But some of the redesigns of some of the weapons, like the DMR, the assault rifle, and the battle rifle, do seem rather welcome. And some of the redesigned Covenant weaponry, such as the storm rifle, they feel a lot more useful than they ever have been. Although I will say the Needler doesn't seem to have nearly as much homing ability as it used to. But still, it is still fun to use, though I didn't find myself using it as often as other weapons in this game. Like I said, found myself relying on the suppressor and the light rifle more so than I did anything else. One of the neat things you can do in this game is you can direct your fire team to do certain orders. You can order them to pick up certain weapons. You can order them to attack a certain enemy or to go to a position. So you can actually flank guys if you know what you're doing. And the enemy AI in this game is smarter than I remember, but stupider than it has been since, say, Halo Reach, where I think the AI was downright diabolical at times. In this game, though, there are more than a few sections where you will go down. However, though, once you go down, you're not necessarily dead. Your team can revive you. You can actually call your team to come and help you, and you can also revive your team as well. Now, if they die, they will respawn when you reach the next checkpoint. So if Buck drops in the middle of a firefight, he's not necessarily dead for the whole rest of the mission. He'll pick up about 5 to 10 minutes later after you get out of the certain encounter. So that is rather nice. Now, if they don't get you in time, you're still DOA, but hey, not everything's perfect. In terms of difficulty, I beat this game on normal. I'm going to go through it again on heroic. My co-host Jamie on the prototype beat this game on legendary because that's what he does. And he did report more than a few frustrations, and it was not necessarily because the game was hard, it's because the game tried to screw you. Especially there's one fight, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when you get to the end of the game. And the last game in the game should be very hard. No, this one is frustratingly hard to the point you want to throw down the controller. But, of course, there's the sense of accomplishment of giving the game the middle finger, saying, ha, I beat you, ha, diddly, ha, ha. So, there's that. And I guess to talk about story, this will be my final point about it before we kind of move on here. I like the story in this game to a point. And when you get to the ending, I can't tell you specifically about what specifically happens. But I will say, as a fan of the franchise, I was rather pissed off. I'm glad they took a chance on doing something different, but it just seems a little too, it seems a little out there and maybe a little bit of twirly mustache, so to speak. So I don't know. You'll have to beat it for yourselves. Me and Jamie are going to be doing a spoiler show. We're going to give everybody a week to beat it, and then we're going to do a prototype dedicated purely to the Halo franchise and specifically what this game means for the franchise moving forward. So look for that next week. Okay, so let's talk about the graphics for this game. This game is gorgeous. This game looks amazing. You'll visit certain worlds. There's one world you visit. It's a UNSC colony. And just seeing a place where humanity lives is just, it's kind of neat. And seeing all the different environments there, you'll visit a Forerunner installation and just how vibrant everything seems. This world seems literally alive, walking through puddles, seeing your like footsteps create a ripple and everything. Just how beautiful some of the enemies look, even. Like some really nice character designs here, some really nice designs on the Spartans themselves. If anything did look a little off, it's some of the human models on some of the Spartans. It looks just a little odd. Not quite like they're moving right, if that makes any kind of sense. You'll see what I mean when you watch it, because once you see it, you can never unnotice it. But enemies look really cool, especially the elites look really cool. The Prometheans look really neat, especially there's a new, I guess, a boss type enemy on the Promethean side that looks really, really impressive. And even seeing some of just the kind of typical things. I mean, seeing some of the shipboard AIs like Roland from the UNSC Infinity, seeing him again, just seeing all the little details on his flight outfit are really neat. So there's a lot of little details, especially when you go into multiplayer and you see the different armors that you can get. And I'll talk about that when we get the multiplayer / extras, but there's just a lot of love put into how this game looks. Definitely looks next gen, which is kind of nice because this is the first Halo game designed specifically, really, for Xbox One. I mean, yeah, you could count Halo 2 Anniversary Remastered, but they knew what assets they are working with. Here, they're creating a whole new world, and everything just looks, it looks awesome. I'm really happy with the way a lot of things look. So let's talk about the sound for this game. Great performances all around by Steve Downes and the other people from the franchise, like Nathan Fillion, which I dare say he has more lines than anybody else. And, well, when you have Nathan Fillion, you're not going to waste them. If I did have one complaint about the sound for this game, it's the guy who plays Spartan Locke. The guy who does the voice is not the same actor from the TV series. The guy that plays Luke Cage in Marvel's Jessica Jones, it's not the same guy. But he just really likes to say Fireteam Osiris a lot. And I know that name sounds cool, but if you say it so many times cool, it's kind of annoying. So, I don't know. But that's more a complaint about the script than it is the actual sound itself. Sound design in this game is wonderful. More specifically, I want you to pay attention to some of the weaponry. Listen to the way the assault rifle sounds. It literally sounds like it's got some nice punch behind it now. Same with the battle rifle and the Magnum. All the human weapons sound really good. Even listening to the new kind of Needler, it sounds more deadly, if that makes any sense. If a sound could have a sharpness to it, that's what it sounds like. Other than that, though, like I said, vocal performances were really good. Some later in the story, when you find out who the real villain is, it seems so out of character that I think it pulls you out of it. But like I said, I can't tell you too much because that would totally spoil the entire game. So I'll move on from that. Music wise, the same guy who did the music for this also did music for Halo 4. He also did music for Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker. I know I'm going to slaughter this guy's name, but his name is Kazuma Jinouchi. Pretty sure I slaughtered it. It's not bad. I really like a lot of the ambient suites in this. And I guess the themes for Fireteam Osiris. You do get some hints of the old Marty O'Donnell score, especially really late in the game. There's the ending suite's really, really cool. But nothing that stands out like Marty O'Donnell's stuff did. Like, I really think the series reached its peak musically with Halo 3 ODST, which is probably my second favorite Halo game. I know, all hate mail can be sent to Mike at thisweekingeek.net, subject line, you're a friggin' idiot. But still, that's what I felt. So, multiplayer / extras. The multiplayer for this, there's Arena, which is your basic PvP, so player versus player. There is a mode that's kind of like Capture the Flag meets SWAT. So think of it as no shields, lower health. It plays a lot like COD on hardcore, actually. Not quite one shot and you're dead, but two or three or one headshot will definitely drop you. You start those modes with like a Magnum and an SMG, and it's not hard to get wiped out. It's like capture one flag, bring it back to your base, or wipe out the other side. There's a typical Slayer, SWATs in there, Capture the Flag, King of the Hill, which is like called, I think, I'm trying to remember what they call it. They call it Control Zone or something like that. It's basically Hardpoint. The big difference is Warzone, which is PvP versus E. So it's player versus enemy. And that's where you can use these things called rec packs. Think of them kind of like advanced supply drops from Call of Duty, though not as microtransaction-y as Sledgehammer Games did it. You can earn in-game credits to buy these things. Even the most expensive ones will not take you very long to earn, especially if you're really good. The most expensive one right now is a gold pack, and that costs you 10,000 credits. You're earning probably just over or under 1,000, at least that's how much I earned per session, so it won't take you long. There's bronze, silver, and gold. Your best bet is to honestly just keep saving up for golds, because that's where you get different things. Like, you get new armor customization for helmets, different armors. Not as deep as Halo Reach's armor customization was, but still, it is pretty neat. You can choose your helmet, your visor, stuff like that. You can choose different assassinations, different idol stances. You can customize your, like, emblem, stuff like that. And it's kind of cool. And you can also choose what your loadout is and get, like, weapon skins and stuff like that for playing in Warzone. Now, I unfortunately did not get a lot of time with Warzone because as of the pre-release, we're only playing with the journalists and people that got the game early who were registered. So I couldn't play a lot of Warzone. I know Jamie did, and he had a lot of fun with it. He said, that's probably the mode where I'm going to spend a lot of time in. PvP versus each other, sure, it's fun, but I like objective-based game modes. So playing P versus P plus enemies, now that sounds like fun. It looks like you're only ever playing as Spartans in this. I didn't see as an option to play as the Arbiter, even in multiplayer. So maybe they'll pass that in later. I don't know. But the game seems... One of the things I did notice with this is it feels more esports friendly, and even going with that, it feels a lot more like a Call of Duty game and how it reacts. One of the things I didn't mention is you do have new Spartan abilities. You have, like, a boost, which is... The best way to think of it, or at least how I would feel, is kind of like the double jump or the boost slam from Advanced Warfare. And that's how I kind of treated it as. You have an attack where if you run towards someone and hit your, like, melee button, you'll do this thing called a Spartan Charge. You can kill people with it. Or if you hit B while you're in the air, or even on the ground, you can, like, boost forward, boost to the side, boost backwards. It's a good way to get out of a tight spot fast. But the controls feel very, very different. They feel lighter, in a sense. Although your character seems heavier. Follow me here. It seems like you don't jump nearly as high as you used to, but you can now grab onto ledges and pull yourself up. So I guess they're kind of compensating for that. But it's nowhere near as jumpy as Call of Duty, Advanced Warfare, and nowhere near Destiny, where you virtually fly anyway. So I know they wanted Halo 5 to be more esports friendly. And in fact, when people purchase rec packs, when they actually use real world money, part of your purchase goes into the prize pools for these huge Halo tournaments. So I'm kind of glad they are taking esports a little bit more seriously. There's like even like a theater mode, I guess, which is more meant for the esports crowd. So I'll be very interested to see how this scene progresses. I just don't know how this game's going to compete against Black Ops 3 when everything's all said and done. So to talk about the Collector's Edition for just a moment. So my wife got this for me for my birthday. So thank you, honey. You're welcome. And the version of this costs about $280. That is a huge chunk of change by anybody's estimation. The only other super expensive special edition I can think of was the Titanfall one. I think that one was slightly more expensive than this. And the Call of Duty fridge. And my wife pointed this out to me tonight. The Call of Duty Juggernaut edition is about $40 or $50 cheaper than this one. And you might be asking, well, what the hell do you get with this? Well, let me tell you. You get this awesome statue, which I think was made by Project Triforce. I'll tell you this. This thing stands almost 2 feet tall. So like 18 to 20 inches. It's gorgeous. It looks incredible. It looks better than the Reach statue. And that was sculpted by McFarlane. And listen, it looks amazing. And especially the detail when you look on Spartan Locke. It's nice. Man, I wish these things were action figures. Because these things would be like in scale with like the PlayArt's Kai. In fact, that's actually probably a pretty good comparison for how big the figures stand. They're basically bookends. But yeah, they're about as tall as a PlayArt's Kai figure, although I would argue these are probably more detailed. You get a little plastic case that has like different dossiers on Fireteam, Osiris, and Blue Team with about a paragraph on each. And French on the other side. You get a digital game download code, which I thought was kind of a kick in the face. I didn't give you a physical edition. However, if you call Microsoft or go to Microsoft's website, you can talk with someone. They will give you a physical copy as long as you give them the digital code. Though they will have to go through a process with you to get the codes for your bonus rec pack, which you get with this game. And you'll get a digital code for the Fall of Reach animated series, which I haven't had a chance to watch. I don't know whether it's active as of this recording. You also get this little envelope full of this laser cut figurine. And what I mean by that is it's a model of a Guardian. It's that big metal looking thing you saw from the trailers. And it's a little scale model. Probably stands about, I don't know, three to five inches high. But you have to assemble it. And I don't see myself doing that. It's not because I can't. I just... Excuse me, I don't want to cut myself on this thing. It just... It don't look safe in my approximation. I'm probably being really overprotective. But still. At $280... I'm going to say this is for diehard fans only. Really. So. What's my final verdict on Halo 5 Guardians? Well, it's a fun game. It truly is. And it does progress the story of Halo. It does go in a very different direction than the other games. In a very unexpected direction, I think. how is the story going to finish when the inevitable Halo 6 comes out in, like, probably 2 or 3 to 4 years from now? I don't know. I think it's a very smart move that 343 put esports in mind when they designed the multiplayer for this. Because Warzone is definitely more casual, whereas Arena is definitely more competitive. And I think if you're a fan of the franchise, you should definitely play it. You should probably own it. For everybody else, I might say it's worth playing until Call of Duty Black Ops 3 comes out. Simply because I don't know how this is going to compete on the esports scene versus COD. Obviously, they are two very different games in that sense. But they're the two ones that people always talk about. And I'm very glad Halo's trying to make a comeback into that scene. But I don't know if it's going to be able to compete. So I guess we'll just have to kind of wait and see. So that's my verdict. If you're a fan of the franchise, absolutely check this out. If you're not and have a passing interest in Halo, give this game a shot anyway. I think you're really going to have fun with how it plays now. Like I said, it feels a lot smarter, feels sharper than the franchise ever was. I think it's definitely better than Halo 4 in that regard. And I think the multiplayer might be able to stand up to what Halo 4 accomplished, because I had a lot of fun with that game. So we'll just have to wait and see. So guys, coming up on the show later this week, I will have Assassin's Creed at some point. I am working on WWE 2K16 and Guitar Hero Live. So stay tuned. I'll also have that, Star Wars Battlefront, and so much more. I'm not going to sleep until well after Christmas at this rate. So guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, and I'll catch you right here on ReviewAday.ca and on VGS, which you can hear across the Chorus Radio Network.